This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. As you're turning there, one of the things that really has gotten to me through today was you and I need to see the urgency of every moment. Now, Pat's been here a number of times, and not all of you probably know her. Not all of you maybe have talked to her. But we who have, oftentimes we can talk about the service. We can talk about, you know, a lot of little things like that. We need to zero in on where people are spiritually. And I'm glad for those of you that did. But, you know, there's a lot of others. We've got another Pat here. We have people here that have been here a long time, and people never talk to them or have anything to do with them. How sad would it be that a person would come here and now if they deliberately don't want to be saved, that's different, but never have anybody talk to them and show them how they can know they're saved and how to do that. You know, there's. I think of different people that you meet along the way, and your heart breaks because there's only so far you can go. But at least you can go that far. If you don't go that far, then I think it's on us. That all we did is we just spread the truth. That's good. I mean, they need the truth. They're responsible for the truth. Somebody needs to tell them what to do with it. And when that does not happen, I hate to think of how many, you know, that would happen with me. But this came quick, but it was a quick lesson, and you got to do what you can do while you have the opportunity to do it. Because in a heartbeat, I mean, she could be biologically dead. The lady said, I know her soul's already gone. I said, well, is she dead? She said, well, no. I said, well, where did you ever hear that? And so, you know, soul doesn't leave the body. It's some Catholic thing, I guess. So anyway, just keep those things in mind because they're important. The Iyers are here from Pennsylvania. Texted with them this, or emailed them this morning, and I was texting with Tina, and she heard the messages from Wednesday night or Sunday night, and wanted everybody to know how good they were. So praise the Lord. Okay, Genesis chapter one. You want to start off a new year right and good? Here's the good start. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So in the beginning was God. Right? Is God included in your new year? Because He should be. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. Lord Jesus Christ speaking about the Word becoming flesh. Very important that we get a good start. Kate, I don't know if Katie sent any of you this, but she sent me and Linda, and maybe some others as well, this little, I just enlarged it a little, but it said like this: Dear God, I'm placing 2019 in your hands. That's a good start, if you keep it up. I mean, I'm not talking about some kind of a formula here, but we need to start with the Lord for sure. Okay, go with me to Exodus 14. I'm going to try and go in order here. I may get out of order, but it won't be dramatic. Exodus chapter 14. Most of these are from the Old Testament. And maybe occasional reference to the New Testament. Exodus chapter 14. And look at verse, where are we? 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Not backward, but forward. And I think that's important. In Luke, again, Luke, hold your place here. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Wherever you are spiritually at this moment, then consider where that is, because you should have some idea where you are, and make sure that you start with the Lord and that you go forward from where you are. You don't want to be stagnant at the end of a year. You don't want to be where you started. I mean, because the Christian life is growth. So Luke chapter 9, look at verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, so who does he say this to? Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go to bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So we need to be a people that move forward. You know, analyze where you are spiritually. And make sure that you build on that. Because otherwise, that's what will happen. You'll either stay stagnant here, or you'll begin to regress. Because the Christian life is an upward growth. And if you stop, a lot of times you don't have the wherewithal to stop. You don't have the brakes. And you'll keep going, sliding back more and more. All right? Chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Where were we? In 14? Going forward? Let's go to chapter 13. Let me do 13 first. 13 and verse 21. The 13 verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. All right, so who's going to lead us? Who's going to lead you? And the Lord went before them. All right, the Lord should go before us as a local church. The Lord should go before me and you. I mean, we need, many times, you know what we do? We go before the Lord. And when we go before the Lord, that's when we mess up. And we think that this is what needs to be done, and this is how to do it. And the Lord, we haven't allowed the Lord to do that. We've done it. And we have no one else to blame but ourselves. So our leader for this new year should be the Lord. The Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, and nothing else. All right, in chapter 33, where I was having you turn before. Chapter 33, Exodus 33. In verse 14, and he said, My presence shall go with thee, speaking to Moses, and I will give thee rest. Now, there are so many people that are confused as to the Holy Spirit, and they don't understand. When we're saved, the Holy Spirit resides in us, he indwells in us, and where we go, he goes. But he may not go with you spiritually. Many times you'll go someplace the Lord doesn't want to go, and then you're on your own. So go back to verse 1. I want you to see this. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. So before his presence went with them, he said, you go, but I'm not going with you. And how many times has that happened? Where we've gone, but the Lord didn't go with us. Now, as you read the rest of the chapter, before we get down to verse 14, you see they made the necessary changes. There was repentance. And when there was repentance, then he says in verse 14, my presence shall go with thee. So how important is that? Don't we need the Lord's power and leading? Yes. Well, how do you do that? How are we going to accomplish that if we have known sin in our lives that we do not get rid of? We go out on our own. It's almost like we're lost because we don't have His power in us working for us. All right, in Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. And you can see very clearly what I'm doing. I'm taking sections of verses and making little points here that I think are very helpful and applications of this. Joshua chapter 3. Let's look at verse 4. Yet shall there be a space between you and it. So this is the... let's read verse 1. Get the whole idea. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. The road that we're going to walk on in 2019, we have not walked on before. And we need Him to go before us and to go with us. You can take everything you've learned up to now as a saved person, but you haven't been in 2019 yet. And so we don't know what's going to be ahead. And since we don't know, it's important that you follow the directions that are in God's Word. They will guide you. They will fuel you. They will empower you, even though you don't know what's ahead. But that's extremely important. All right, chapter 24. Familiar verse, oftentimes used in messages. Joshua's last charge to the Israelite people. And he says in verse 14, now therefore, Joshua 24, 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All right. I think that is an important decision to make in a new year. It's an important decision any time. I mean, we could pick that message in the middle of the year. It's always important. But I think it has more power in the beginning of a year. All right, you're thinking of, okay, what can I do now? Well, here's a good one. Serve the Lord. Or serve the pagans that came before, you know, that you were and before you were saved. I mean, you've got that option. All right, Psalm 23. Psalm 23. As we go forward, I think it's important that what I just said, that we don't know the road ahead, but you need to have confidence as you go where you are today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Has the great shepherd ever steered you wrong? Has he ever taken you to a place that he did not want you to be? No. And we all need that confidence. Because, I mean, look how many things be outside of us, but here with us, have changed in one day, since yesterday being the new year. 3 o'clock this morning, here one of these ladies that's been coming to our church may have already breathed her last breath. And we have no clue as to when that will be for us. So I need to know that the Lord is my shepherd. I need to believe that. I need to live that. And that He will lead me in the right way. All right. Psalm 90. Psalm chapter 90. Let's look down here in verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You know, in the beginning, God, and then you look at verse 2, and before there was a beginning, there was still God, and there was still Christ. And that is so great. All right. But here, what we're looking at here in verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You believe that? I believe that. We need to believe that. All right. I mean, that goes along with the confidence. And really, from the end of last year to the beginning of this year. From everlasting, for year to year, you're still God. You're still there and involved. All right? In 1 Peter, no, not 1 Peter, Psalm 39. I'm sorry, it's Psalm 39. And look here in verse 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not to thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Right, hold your place. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul. And then he goes on for another verse there. You need to know who you are. We are pilgrims and strangers in this earth, in this place. This is not home. Home is above. And we're going to be with the Lord. And we're just passing through. And sometimes we get so caught up in putting down roots where we are that we lose track of that. All right, Psalm 31. Let's go back one more. Verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, from them that persecute me. My times are in thy hand. My time is in God's hand. Your time is in God's hand. So we ought to use it. We ought to use it wisely. We're in the grasp of the Lord and he's not going to let us go. A man's not going to yank us out of there. And when he wants us to go, we go. But until then, we have to know who we are. All right, go back to Psalm 90. I meant for you to stay there, but you have to consider the source of the person who's speaking to get this all in order here. Psalm 90, verse 11 and 12. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Well, you want wisdom in this year? Number your days. Teach us to number our days, that we can apply our days unto wisdom. Tomorrow, apply your heart to wisdom. And all the things that we've been talking about in wisdom, very important. Psalm 144. Let's look at verse 15. Psalm 144, verse 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. You want a happy new year? You want a happy year?
Good.
Who's your God?
That's right.
There are tons of people whose God is not the Lord. Our country does not have God as its Lord. It just doesn't. There are false religions, the pagans. You want biblical happiness, that's where it is. All right. Proverbs chapter 3. And look at verse 6. You should know that by heart. Sometimes when you don't say it collectively, then you forget what the other part is. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know what the solution is to guidance? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I would rather him direct me in a way that other people may not understand than for me to direct myself with the understanding of the people and saying, oh yeah, that's what everybody else does. I don't care what everybody else does, do you? Because most of what everybody else does is wrong. I mean, the narrow way has never been the broad way. So, I mean, we've all used that. I use those, that example as a child. Well, everybody else is out there sledding. Why can't I sled? But it doesn't hold too much water. Isaiah 21. Isaiah chapter 21. Isaiah chapter 21, and let's look here at verse 11. The burden of Dumah. He calleth me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? What's your outlook for this year? Are we to be watchmen? Yes. Not in the sense that the Jewish people were, but we're to be watchmen. You want to know about watchmen? Go to Ezekiel 3, and this might be 33, and it talks about knowing things are wrong and you saying nothing. You become a part of that, and their blood is on you. But if you tell them, so here's an enemy. An enemy is out there. And the enemy is pursuing your direction. And you are responsible for maybe just your home. Or maybe your class. Or maybe the church. And you say nothing. And ultimately they will come in and destroy everything. Or corrupt it. Or compromise at all. It does us no good to be watchmen and do nothing, and to be asleep on the job, because the wolves and the devil don't stop. And somebody has to say, hey, no, this is wrong. All right. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 16. By the way, before I read this, we live in a world that is so technologically advancing that what we pride ourselves in knowing and being able to do today is nothing to what's going to happen, because everything is just escalating and snowballing. And so this is an apt verse, because it tells us to take a step back. Thus saith the Lord, verse 16. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Now here's the tragedy. But they said, we will not walk therein. There is nothing better than the word, and the word going forth in power, and just the word. Nothing better than that. And now we've got all this other material, all this other stuff going on. And we say, well, why do we need the word? We've got all this technology. No, get in and dig out the treasures that are there. They're there. And they've always been there. And the more they've been allowed to not be used, you know what happens? They start to get buried. Well, dig them up. Not like the Mormon guy, Joseph Smith, dug up the devil's book. You know, we've got treasures, we've got truth. You know, and this is where we need to see and stand and use and give forth. Good to start us off that way. All right. In Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33. But seek ye first. That was yesterday. Now you have to seek ye second. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything I'm doing here is pointing you and me in the same direction. Collectively. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll end with this. 2 Peter chapter 1. I hope this would be our wish for each other, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and for our church. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The importance on every single word. We should want that for each other. I should want that for me. I should want that for you. And I do. New Year, I think in God's timetable, I don't know how he divides it that way, or he doesn't, but we've conscientiously ended a year and conscientiously started a year. So whatever happened last year is last year. Whatever happened yesterday is yesterday. And now you have the ability to take the reins of tomorrow and even the rest of tonight and use them that way, so that you'll continue to grow, that God will be a part of everything and every decision, and we'll grow in grace, and we'll take firm stands on the truth of God, and be concerned about the souls of men and women and boys and girls who are dying and going into a Christless eternity. The weight of the family of Pat Brunell is pretty heavy, that you could have somebody that was so... The people are so confused You've got charismatic, Catholic, and Baptist. And all in one house. And, you know, Pat would say, I go home, and I think she was referring to one person there. Just wanted to, and he means he even said it today, I'd rather she have come to me and be part of what I believe rather than me what she believes. But we're here to win souls. We're here to bring glory to God. And we're here to live a life that represents everything in combination to all of that, and bringing in the sheaves, bringing them with us. If we win them, they're going to go with us. But it's not going to work if I just read to you a particular verse of Scripture and say, you see what that says? It says that Christ, you know, shed his blood for our sins, for your sins. And he died on the cross. And he was raised again the third day. And he offers salvation to everybody that believes. Okay, what do I do? You got to do something. Because I don't know, maybe you weren't this way, but I believe Jesus was the Savior of the world when I was lost. Not mine, but the Savior of the world. I believe that he resurrected. I said, well, you believe the gospel. I didn't even know what the gospel was. If I did know what it was, I wouldn't have known to do anything with it. I believe God's word was true, but I didn't know God's word. I didn't know, I could read it, but I didn't know what it said. So, again, until somebody tells you and shows you in plain language, you know, there's not going to be an action until somebody pushes you on that front. There just isn't. And this is part of what the Lord's left us here to do. So, let's pray. Father, we come before you ready, excited to start a new year. Start it right with you, with the Lord Jesus Christ. To start it in obedience to your word, to your direction, your leading. And we're excited that we could be used of thee to win other people to Christ, that we could grow substantially through the year, because we don't know what's on hand for tomorrow and through the end of the year. But we know that if we are going to be putting the reins, our reins, into your hands, we'll be in good condition, in good shape. Nothing better than being in your will and doing what you want us to do. So I pray you'd speak to our hearts, encourage us as we go forth, and lead us to those who are hurting, those who are lost, those who are saved but really should be in other places, and inviting people and winning people. I'm just grateful for all that you're doing. Pray for all that you're going to do. And we look to thee for the results. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area he is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust him as your personal Savior, he will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in his finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.